Welcome to the Humble Hoof Podcast. My name is Alicia Harlov. This is a podcast for both horse owners and hoof care professionals, offering discussions into various philosophies on the health of the hoof and soundness of your horse. Please check us out on Facebook or at thehumblehoof.com.
Trying to choose the right supplements for the right horses often feels like a chore, and you have enough chores as it is. Fortunately, there's Equithrive, whose mission is to make this whole nutrition equation easier on you and much more beneficial to your horses. Equithrive's lineup of pelleted supplements are developed with care, backed by science, and 100% satisfaction guarantee. Not to mention picky eater approved. Whether you need advanced joint care for your equine athlete, gut or metabolic support, Equithrive is your one-stop shop for feed tub fortification. Do your horses and yourself a favor and visit equithrive.com. Use the promo code HumbleHoof and get 20% off your first order, plus free and fast shipping nationwide. Don't forget to use HumbleHoof, all one word, to get 20% off your first order at equithrive.com.
A special thank you to our wonderful sponsor, Cavallo. For our Humble Hoof listeners, they are offering 20% off their Cavallo Trek hoof boots using the coupon code HRN at checkout. The Trek is the world's most popular and versatile hoof boot and Cavallo's toughest trail boot, while also doubling as an option for therapy or rehab. The front closure system makes it easily adaptable to various hoof shapes, and the TPU upper design allows for maximum strength while minimizing weight for the comfort and ease of movement for your horse. These are recommended by vets and trainers and also loved as transport boots by barrel racers, show jumpers, dressage riders, and everyone in between. Again, for 20% off a pair of Treks, use the code HRN at checkout at cavallo-inc.com. I don't know about where you are, but here in Massachusetts, it has rained for like a year straight, and it has produced some pretty intense mud. I reached out to Amy Dell Anthony, who's been on the podcast before to talk about horse track systems, to chat with me about what she does to manage mud, even on areas that you can't permanently surface. Side note, we also both run track system facilities, so she and I will talk about tracks a little bit in this, but primarily we talk about how we deal with mud in wet environments. So obviously, you know, this is a topic I've had to deal with, and you've probably had to deal with a lot this year, but mud has been the bane of my existence this year. We had an incredibly, incredibly wet summer, and then fall, and then winter, and now spring. So it's just not let up at all. And I know that that's something that a lot of people are dealing with. So I wanted to ask you some questions about how you kind of manage the mud over there. So actually, my first question is, what does your typical year look like in terms of weather?
Well, it's changing now. So, I mean, we in England, it's always been, you know, wet winters, wet springs, wet summer. It's a very wet country, which is why it's so green and pretty. But, you know, we have a nicer spring and a nicer summer. But more recently, especially this year just gone, I'd say is the worst winter I have ever seen. And this is my eighth winter of running a track livery. And that's been the worst. So I feel like that's the way global warming is maybe going, that we are now just going to have much more extremes of weather. Because the year before last, we had a massive heat wave in the summer. We had 40 degrees here, which we just don't get. But I feel like we've all got to prepare for what might be our new norms, which is a little bit scary. But yeah, I mean, our winters are really wet and muddy. Our autumns tend to be the same. Our springs are a bit nicer and summers are a bit nicer. But it's kind of, I think a lot of countries around the world experience sort of the same in terms of mud and weather, especially it seems us horse folk.
yeah, honestly, I mean, this is the wettest winter I've ever seen here in Massachusetts. And I kind of joked with my husband, I'm like, oh my goodness, this is probably what England is like a lot of the time. Because in winter here, usually it freezes and then the ground's just hard all winter. And then we get a bad mud season when it thaws in the spring, but it's not that long. So we've kind of been new to dealing with, I mean, obviously we've dealt with mud before, but dealing with this like chronic, constant mud. And maybe it's just because it's something the horses aren't used to, but I've seen some of the worst abscessing and like hoof sensitivity that I've ever seen in the last like 10 years that I've kind of been around hoof care. Is that something that you see a lot in the UK?
Yeah, I mean, I technically see more of it because I have horses come to me that I rehab. So, of course, I'm going to see more abscesses and changes because a lot of horses have their shoes off and then come to me. So they're already going to be at a degree of inflammation, which is going to make it more likely. But other than those, we don't see many abscesses here. You know, once the horses are settled, they're all right. But I think a lot of horses in the UK are much more used to it. I would probably say we've had 3 weeks out of the whole winter that were actually frozen. The rest of the time it is just wet, sloppy mud. So they have to adapt to it. We still get thrush, we still get the softness, soft frog, soft feet. It's going to happen, isn't it? But I think as long as they've got somewhere to get out of it, you know, we typically don't, I mean, here in the south of the UK anyway, in my own personal experience, I don't see tons of abscesses, but I do hear of them a lot on other yards sort of around me that have sort of traditional paddock keeping, but the horses are turned out into paddocks.
Right. Yeah. And so in terms of mud management, I mean, that's such a huge topic, but I think that there's like almost two veins to it. It's like, how do we manage the horses and how do we make sure that they're going to be as healthy as possible so that they're able to withstand having, you know, wet environment? But then also, like, what can we do? Are there things that you can share that we can practically do for, you know, barn owners or I guess even boarders, because not everybody has their own property, in order to mitigate some of the mud or at least help during the worst times that, you know, horses can have an area, like you're saying, that they're not just standing in that all the time. So I'd love to kind of chat about those two things.
Yeah, of course. I mean, they kind of go hand in hand, especially for me. I've always found it really, really important to make sure, from my perspective, managing it, you know, I'm not forcing myself dragging a wheelbarrow full of hay nets through mud, you know, and hating the track and hating the management and the mud and the winter. And the same for, you know, I have staff and people that work for me, and I'm never going to expect them to have to potentially put themselves at risk, you know, if the mud's really bad. So my fundamental thing, especially with anyone I do consults with, is you have to have an area of hard standing. I don't care whether that's mud mats and it's temporary, or whether you've got your own land and the money and you've built a hard standing area. You know, you do need to have a hard standing. The horses do need to get out of it. And I think this is where a lot of people get tracks wrong, is they will only put up a track without surfaces, which is fine. But they do need an area of surfaces. My tracks are majority on surface, but I have two big hard standings at the front of each track that go around my barn, where when the weather's really, really bad, we just put the hay up there. It does mean that they don't move as much because it's not spread out around the track, but I don't want to force them to go out in the mud. And it's all about free choice, right? And letting the horses make the decision. So I feel like if I've got the hay in an area where they can stand out of it, the hooves can get dry, they're not stood in the mud, also much easier for us because then the poo's on hard standing and not on the mud. And then they do still go out there, you know, a few times a day for a mooch, a roll, a play. And I feel like for the 3 months of the year, and in England especially, where it's really, really bad, that is the key way of how I manage it.
Yeah, yeah. And we've done a little bit similar here. So our surface track is actually like only 50% surfaced. And what we've switched to this winter because of necessity is, when it has been the wettest, I've only fed them on where they can walk through the surfacing and be on a firm, non-muddy area. And at first I was like, oh, I'm not going to do that because they're going to move less. And I, you know, the area that was furthest from the water where they'd have to move the most isn't surfaced. And then I just realized it's making it harder for everybody involved, like in terms of mucking and putting out hay. But also, I'm like, the horses don't want to walk through all that and have to, you know, stand in mud just to get to their hay. So that's something that we've adapted, and we're going to try to keep improving it and add more surfacing. But that's, you know, a long-term goal. And I know that on the last podcast you were on with me, you're talking about, you know, tracks evolve over time and we kind of change things as we go. And that's sort of what I've kind of embraced this year, been like, we're making the best of a really, really wet year and doing the best we can, and then we'll improve as we go. But yeah, absolutely. Do you guys, this is kind of off topic, but do you guys get the frozen mud that's all like chunky and choppy too?
Yeah, we do. And it comes suddenly. So you've got mud and then literally one night it's like, oh, it's going to be -5. And you think, oh no. And you come out in the morning and it's frozen solid. Again, if I know that's going to happen, I will bring the hay up onto the hard standing areas so they're not having to go out there. And then if it's going to be around for a few days, I will go out with the tractor and flatten it. Because again, I can't push a wheelbarrow over it and the horses don't want to walk over it. And then you've got, you know, risk of injury on rutty mud too.
Right.
But more often than not, if you've managed to kind of get them onto the hard standing before the mud's got really, really bad and encourage them to mill about there, if they haven't turned the mud up too bad, if it freezes, it wouldn't be an issue. Which for the last 7 years has been what's happened.
Right.
But this winter, it was just relentless. I cannot tell you. I don't think we had 2 days where it didn't rain from October to now. I mean, nearly April. It's just been awful. And normally I say, you know, well, it's only 3 months of the year. It's really bad that we have them only on the hard standings. But it's been a lot longer than that this time. And maybe that is going to be slightly more our new norm. So like you say, I am investing in putting more hard standing down, buying more mud mats, and making areas more usable for more of the year. And it is little and often, you know, as long as you have a hard standing area for them to get out of it. I've seen people make, you know, quite small little sort of platform areas where they just have, this is where the hay is. When it's really bad, and little by little, you know, even every couple of months, they'll buy another few mud mats and just extend it and just extend it. It doesn't have to be massive amounts of investment and change. And you don't have to, I think a lot of people that are tracking as well, compare a lot and look at other people's tracks and think, oh, mine's not like that. Oh, I don't have that. And then feel really disheartened. I know I did at the start, but the horses don't know.
Yeah.
And as long as it's working and they're out, even when they're on the hard standings, it's still better than a stable, right?
So yeah.
For me, that's always what I go back to.
Yeah. And honestly, I've had to do the same thing. Like I love looking at other people's tracks, but I've had to totally stop comparing because obviously, I mean, everybody who has a track, we're all at different, you know, points in our journey and making it and working with it. And we all have different land. We have different, you know, topography. We have different environments. And so it's been hard to have like kind of track envy when I look at someone. Yeah. But no, I mean, the best thing is that, or the most important thing to me is that the horses are, you know, happy and moving and, you know, they have their friends. Forage freedom is kind of
exactly the
most important thing. So the other thing is, you know, obviously we're talking about hard standing and I think a lot of people will think like, oh, I don't own my property, but you were talking about mud mats, which I have found to be amazing in terms of just having like an instant area that you can drop down a hard surface. And then, you know, if you're boarding or, you know, you're not, you don't own the property, you can just pick them up and take them away when you're done. And I saw that you just added in a whole line of them and those look really cool too. I don't think we can get those ones in the States, but we use, I have some mud control grids, but you have a whole line of, what are they called? The ones you have?
They're called Jelka. They're actually, they're a branch of a German company who make like a similar kind of system to tracks. It's called a hit stable system where the horses are all out and have like automated feeders and things. But yeah, they've designed these mats to be non-slip. And what I like about them is they don't let any grass grow through them. I did have mud control too, which I do like. Mud control are great too. But I didn't like that the grass would eventually recover and start coming through them. Whereas the Jelka mats, they're kind of like a rubber stable mat, but 3 times as thick and not slippy at all because of the way they've designed the nodules on the top. And you can fill them with sand so you can make them a completely smooth surface to sweep and stuff. I think they're trying to get them in America and, you know, around different parts of the world. But obviously, you know what it's like with companies and branching out. But yeah, there are so many on the market, different types. I've only personally tried Mud Control and Jelka. And you can literally, it like you say, rather than investing your money into the ground. So even though I do own the land that my track is on, I still like the mud mats because if I ever decide to change lots of it or one day when I don't do this as a livery anymore, say, and I just want my horses on it, I might move them all from a different space, or, and I've kind of not sunk the money into one spot. They do work out, I think when you actually cost it, they work out around the same price as putting in hard standing. But because you're not sinking your money into the ground and you can take it with you, and, or, you know, pull them up, jet wash them and sell them if you decide you don't want them anymore. I just think they're such a great investment and idea. And a quick fix. There's no groundworks. You don't have to dig out. You don't have to put stone underneath. You can literally just slap them down onto the mud and you've got a mud-free area. They're addictive as well. I keep buying more.
Yeah. And I know I've been obsessed with mine too. I have some on both of my tracks. I have right now a mare track and a gelding track, just kind of how it worked out in terms of their needs. But I've been amazed at how, like you said, you don't have to prep the ground at all. And the hardest part for me with the mud has been we can't change anything about the mud in the winter because our equipment will get stuck. It's so heavy. We can't dig it up. Because at first I was like, oh, we'll just dig it out and drop some stone down. But it's so impractical and impossible when it's actively wet. So the mud control grids that I got were just the best solution. I will say, like, one thing that's so hard, and I know that people know this in the States at least, is that they can be very expensive. And so I like your thought about, like, buying a few at a time. I mean, ours are even more expensive here because we have to have them shipped over from Europe. But yeah, I mean, they're worth it for sure. But that's something where I would buy, you know, pallets and pallets if I could just afford them all at once.
Me too.
But, you know, it's just one of those things, like you said, you do it little by little, and just having an area where they can get at least a little bit out of the mud, then that's the most important thing.
I think what's really good about them, though, is although they're expensive, they hold their value because they are robust. And I think the mud control ones have like a 15-year guarantee or something like that as well. I'm not sure about Gelco. I've never asked them, but I've also never worried about them needing it. So I've never asked about a warranty. But I bought a load of mud control mats when I had a horse that had to be separate from the herd for a little while. And I bought two pallets and made like sort of a hard standing for him. And then when I was finished, I didn't really have anywhere else on the track that they would kind of fit. And I'd sort of started down the road of using the Gelco mats instead. So I jet washed them all and I sold them for exactly what I bought them for. And yeah, you don't get many products that hold value like that. So even though they're expensive, they hold their value. And yeah, they're just fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. Having a hoof rehab facility, one main focus of ours is forage. I want the horses here to have safe, tested forage available 24/7 without the risk of becoming obese. I've spent years looking for the ideal slow feeder for us, and we have found it with Hay Boss feeders. When I tell you that my Hay Boss XL feeder has cut my feeding time by 90%, I mean it, and it might even be an understatement. The covered feeders with integrated slow feed nets allow for all my horses here to have access to hay all the time, which is healthy for their guts and minds. They're also not able to completely binge all at once because the nets keep them in check. They're available all over North America right now, but side note, if you're in New England, I got mine from Mountain Lane Farm, who delivered it right to me and showed us how to set it up and use it. We can't imagine our lives without it here. Yeah, and I guess, so the big other topic is, how can we prepare our horses for what will inevitably be a mud season? Like, you know, how can we make sure that their feet are as strong as possible? I mean, my big focus, as anybody would know who's ever listened to the podcast, has always been, you know, a lot of it's diet.
Yes.
But, you know, do you put anything on? Do you have anything else that you do in terms of hoof protection for the wet season?
I mean, like you say, diet is the most important part of this, making sure they've got the species appropriate hay that's low in sugar, a balancer that covers all the vitamin and minerals that they'll miss out. As long as they're getting that, fundamentally, they should have those things that are going to support foot from the inside out. You know, you know what it's like being a trimmer. It comes from the whole horse. I think the only thing I'd say that we do differently is I do a lot more sort of claying of the feet and things when it's muddy and spraying, whereas in the summer I would probably don't as much because they just don't get wet and sort of stinky like they do in the winter. I would kind of just sort of do my cleaning stuff a little bit less often. And if I'm riding or exercising, I use hoof boots in the winter, and I don't really in the summer, because by the time it's dried out, their feet are kind of not really changing substrate, if you get what I mean. The track is hard and dry, and so is where I'm riding. Whereas in the winter, often you go from soft track or a little bit of hard standing to maybe riding on the road, if that's your only option. And it's a very big change. So I would put hoof boots on for protection then. But yeah, other than that, not really massive differences. I don't know if whether you guys do it differently over there.
No, similar. I mean, I use a lot of like hoof clay or thrush treatment. And a lot of times I'll tell owners, you know, even just a basic like 50-50 of apple cider vinegar and water and just spraying the feet regularly. Like if you don't want to go buy a million different products, like that will help and help, you know, in making the hoof a less than ideal environment for microbes to kind of take hold. But
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I'm very similar. And it's so funny how this year has been for me the most difficult in terms of, I think, horses noticing the ground more. And I haven't seen that in the past, I think, because like you were saying, we didn't often have like such an extended wet season, where now they're going from very soft, squishy turnout to then having to move on surfaces that are harder. And I used to always say, oh, no, it's not, you know, if a hoof is strong, it can go over all surfaces. And I realized this winter, especially, that they're feet are definitely softer. And I'm kind of like eating my own words from a few years ago of being like, no, they're fine. Because before, you know, in a normal winter for us where it's, you know, maybe a little wet, but then it freezes and stays hard, like they didn't notice a difference because everything was hard and then they were ridden on harder ground. And that's
such a good point. Yeah, I've never thought of it like that, because we've always had wet winters here. So for me, it's always been, I mean, my horse especially, who has metabolic syndrome, coming into winter as well, because we go through September, there's often a lot of hormonal changes with the coat changes.
Right.
He's on like the best diet, no grass. He will always go ever so slightly footsore. And I do think it is and it happens suddenly in England. We don't just get suddenly a little sprinkling of rain that gradually increases. We're like, oh, it's beautiful, summer's still here. And then the next day, torrential rain, 70 mile per hour winds, mud everywhere. And, for us, we get a shock. I mean, the horses get a bigger shock because they live out in it. And so do their feet, because there's been no gradual change. Like when you take shoes off and you do everything gradually and you gradually shape the hoof to how you want it to be. The weather doesn't do that. It just goes, winter's here. And now you have to cope with it. So yeah, I've always seen horses go a little bit sort of footy as we come into those seasons, and there are some sort of trimming methods or places that don't believe that that's a thing, but I've seen it in every single breed, size, shape, age, all over the shop. Ones that are on the best diet, ones that are just changing. I've seen it happen because of the weather for years. So I do think it definitely has an impact.
Yeah, for sure. And the other thing that so a few years ago, Yogi Sharp did a webinar and he was talking about, I think it was the one that I was actually on with him, the barefoot versus shod one, but he was talking about wet dry cycles and how, you know, the wall tubules can kind of weaken when the foot gets wet and then it dries out and then it gets wet and then dries out. It's just that connection just gets kind of weaker. And I think he was more talking about how that can affect, you know, the inner and outer wall and white line disease and things like that. I feel like if the horses that I'm seeing have had a pretty good diet, I don't see as much white line issues. But having dealt with a wetter environment than I do you see an increase in that when there's like mud season?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it depends on the horse, of course, and it depends how sensitive they are. But I definitely see, as in my own horse as well, a sudden change in sort of in the white line. We never get white line kind of stretch or anything like that because they're not on sugar, so we don't get any sort of laminitic changes. But there are definitely separate weather changes, I think, that that can cause those sorts of things too. So, I mean, it's the same thing to prevent them. I just make sure, like you say, making it not a great place for bacteria. So keeping the foot as clean as possible. Apple cider vinegar is great. There's various hoof pastes on the market most people use and know about, and just keeping on top of it and stopping it from kind of taking course. I definitely get more on it with the feet as we're coming into winter, because I kind of prepare myself for it all starting again. But yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I know it's gosh, I feel like it's such a widespread thing that I feel like kind of like a kid that's like, I don't know how to deal with this, because it's so different this year. And I'm just hoping that we have a drier summer than last summer, because we really didn't have any ability to work on our track last summer with how wet it was. But
so frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I mean, like you said, 2 years ago, it was similar here. So you were saying that you had a drought 2 years ago?
Yeah, big one.
Yeah, so we had the same exact thing. We had, like, 2 years ago was super dry drought, and we had a terrible hay year because of the drought. And then last summer, we had a terrible hay year because of all the rain. So
yeah, we're exactly the same.
Yeah, it's just been really tough. Yeah, and I guess one more thing is that I keep seeing on a lot of the track system Facebook groups. In fact, I was kind of like offended reading some of these comments where people are like, "Oh, tracks are not for winter." Because that's literally what I have here. The only turnout I have on my property, other than our small little quarantine area when new horses come in, are the two tracks. And so when I read all these comments about people saying that, you know, tracks aren't for mud season or tracks aren't for winter, that's literally what my horses have. And I think that they have done amazingly and through the winter, even with the unsurfaced track that we have, because I didn't anticipate such a wet winter. I will say those horses have been so happy, even with the mud, even with, you know, their you know, muscling has improved. They've moved more from their previous barns. Their feet have even still improved, even with all of that. So yeah, I guess, I mean, obviously this is kind of tailored to those who have track systems, but do you have any thoughts on that too?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of people think that they don't work in the winter, in mud season. And I think the reason normally is because if they've tried it, they've got the management wrong. So they have continued putting the hay out in all the unsurfaced areas and just letting it become a complete bog. There is part of me that says, well, actually, you do want to do that, but you don't want to do it too much. So this is why you've got to learn how to work with your land. I mean, my tracks, for example, I want them up in the winter because I want to get rid of the grass. And the best way to get rid of the grass for the rest of the year is horses moving on it. So you're getting rid of the grass without them eating it. You know, with their feet, they are getting rid of it with the wet and churning it up and destroying it. So although the winter's hard and the mud isn't ideal for us, as long as it's not, you know, past their fetlocks, it's not a problem for horses. And as long as they've got choices to get out of it, then they will. And more often than not, they will still go out into the mud. I mean, I would choose that 1,000 times over than the majority of the traditional yards around here that have all their horses shut in for days on end because it's raining and they don't want to ruin their paddocks. And it's really important to say that tracks really do work when they're not surfaced. You don't have to have loads of money and surface the whole thing, because it's only for the mud season that you will struggle with mud. The rest of the time, when it dries out, you have these lovely, clean, flat, mud-free and grass-free areas that are safe for horses. We've had a morning like it today where it's probably one of the first couple of days where it hasn't rained heavily and my tracks have dried out, and I'm just like, this is why I let them trash it in the winter, because looking at this now, there is no grass and all my horses are safe and happy and out. And it just makes it all worth it.
Yeah. And so again, this is the first year that I've, or I guess the end of the first year that I've owned my own property. And every other time I've boarded my horse, every spring, I've gotten so nervous as the grass starts to come up, and I've watched him like a hawk, and I've been so anxious, and I wake up, you know, wondering, is he going to be lame? Is he going to be sore? And as much as I cried about the mud over the winter, I will say that right now I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm watching all this green pop up in the middle, like in the field in the middle, and I don't have to worry about it on the track because they trashed it all winter. And it's funny, I had a week or two ago, I had a consultant come out to talk to me about drainage, because I was like, we need to figure out something so that, you know, we have less water next year on the track. And she had never seen a track before, because they're not very common in the States, or at least where I am. And she was like, oh, this is really cool. It's like a sacrifice area, but instead of a small little sacrifice area in one little pen where the horses can't go anywhere, you have like this area where they're moving just as much as they would in like a big field. Yeah. And she was like, this is amazing. Why doesn't everybody do this? And I was like, I know exactly. That's my thought exactly. And it all, you know, it still looks so nice to have the grass in the middle, but you're not stressing about the horses eating it. And you have, you know, a safe area for them to live on all year round. And yeah, I mean, dealing with the mud is so far my least favorite thing of having a horse property, but, having some options for them to get out of the mud, and then having those options like the grids and things to put down so that it's easier for everybody else is a game changer.
I think it's worth me saying that when I first started this as well, the first 4 years, maybe, I used to shut my tracks in the winter in the mud season because I was so worried about mud and so paranoid about it looking bad and being muddy. And people judging the track and me hating it, I used to shut them off. And then I would gradually let them have access to the middles. Now, because the middles were rested throughout the spring and summer, they were standing hay, so they weren't, you know, grassy, short shoots. But I still had way more foot problems because they were having grass. And I still had loads and loads of mud because where they were going in and out of the gateway was awful because it was like all kind of stressed to that one area. And then when I came into spring and I started wanting to open the tracks back up, they were covered in grass. So I used to have to strip graze my sheep around there, or use machinery to get rid of it. And I just sort of one year was like, why am I doing this? I should be leaving it open. The horses would do this for me. Aren't I supposed to be about free choice? I should let them have the option. And a lot of the other horses, you know, while lammy prones and things, really, it wasn't good for them to have access to the grass middles in the winter. And since I stopped doing that and leaving it open, they are all so much healthier and happier. Yes, there's mud. Yes, it drives me mad. But it is so, so worth it for the differences I see in the horses. They're just their physical, their weight, their coats, you know, their feet, everything is so much better when they're on the track all year. And I have a lot of people arranged to have consults with me about setting up a track or improving it. And it's often this time of year that I get a lot of calls and messages wanting to book in, which is great. But if they'd called me a couple of months before and set it up in the winter, they would have already done a lot of their work and they would be ready to go into spring with grass-free tracks. And I think that's where a lot of people miss the point. It's not until they start seeing the spring grass and start panicking about it and looking into options and maybe discover track systems. And then they've got to try and find a way to get rid of the grass. So, yeah, it's much better to do it in the winter and then just leave it up.
Yeah.
Don't be scared of the mud. As long as they can get out of it, as long as you can get out of it, it is going to be worth it.
Yeah. And one thing I will say on that same vein is that I have seen healthier feet on horses that have been in the mud this winter than on horses that have lived on a grass field in the summer.
Yes, definitely.
And that's something that I noticed right away this winter is that I had horses come in last year that were grazing and, you know, their feet were awful. And now seeing how their feet have improved, even in mud over the winter, granted, obviously, just like you, they have places that they can get out of the mud. But seeing how their feet have improved has been amazing, and just another kick in the pants that, like, you know, I need to be more scared of grass for horses that cannot have it than mud.
Yeah, definitely. I used to get so hooked up on the mud, and I think it's also because the lane that I live on, we have like a shared farm lane, and there are three other yards down this lane. All the other three are traditional. One's private, two aren't, and I know that they look at my track, and when it would get muddy, they would start talking and go, oh, you know, look at that. Look at the state of that, those poor horses. And I would feel really upset and attacked and be like, oh, I shouldn't have any mud. It should be pristine and lovely. When actually now I'm like, come look at my mud. Come look at how much happier and healthier my horses are than yours.
Yeah.
You know, despite it. I mean, it is the proof is in that. And in an ideal world, yeah, I probably wouldn't have any mud. But with the horses, they love it. They love rolling in it. As soon as it rains, you know, I have a mostly white horse who spends most of the winter brown because he loves it. He just rolls in it. They have a sand pit. They have two massive indoor bedding areas. And where does he roll? In the mud.
Right. I know. I always joke they love their mud baths. Like, they just...
Yes, they do.
It's so funny. Yeah. Awesome. All right. I think that's... I mean, is there anything else that we kind of didn't touch on that we should? I think that's a really... We kind of covered a lot.
Yeah. I think the other thing I normally advise sort of people to do if they have consults and stuff with me is being careful with things like machinery. I think a lot of people try and use the quad bike all year out on the track and then they trash it and things like that. But a lot of things that aren't, to me, are kind of common sense, but to some people they just haven't thought about and don't like avoid using machinery in those times and then wonder why it's got really, really bad, for example. And it's really annoying as well. Like my husband always says, oh, you need the grass because the grass holds the earth together and stops it getting muddy. And I'm like, I don't want grass, Curtis.
I know.
And you know why. And he's like, I know and I understand it's better for the horses. But I mean, it's because he has to do all the hard standing.
I know.
So he's just like, ugh.
I know. It is a lot. And honestly, I was so worried with how much rain that we got this year. I was so worried that I would just see the feet fall apart and that I wouldn't be able to rehab anybody over winter and that I was just going to have to like give up. And there were times when it was raining and so muddy that I was like, I just want to throw in the towel. I can't do this.
Yeah.
And then now that we're starting to get some dry weather, I'm like, oh my goodness, like looking at pictures of their feet last summer to now, they're so much better. And I do think, as weird as it sounds, like I think the mud kind of packs into their feet and stimulates their back half of the foot is so much bulkier than it was last year. And I think because it kind of forms in the foot. Not that I would say like everybody go have your horses just live in mud so that they have stronger feet. But it's just so funny how I just expected their feet to fall apart. And the ones that were at least new rehabs last summer, their feet are still so much better.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, I've definitely seen it the same here. And it is heartbreaking, the mud. For us, it is horrible. I mean, it's now forecast rain for the rest of the week, and I'm currently looking out a window and it's completely dry and beautiful. But that dry and beautiful came in 2 days. So I know that even though I'm going to have rain again, it dries up so quickly when it stops because we're now getting into the spring where it's warmer. It will be fine. It will come back. I mean, last Friday, but I went away for the weekend and I said to my head groom, is it ever going to dry up? And then Saturday afternoon, she sent me a photo and was like, look how dry it is. And I was like, how? And she just put, it's not rained and it's windy. And I thought, great.
Yeah.
Doesn't take much for it to actually dry up. But when it is relentlessly raining and continuous, it does feel awful. And it's horrible.
Yeah.
But hey.
I know. I mean, honestly, though, it's like you said before, maybe not this year, but usually it's like a few months and then it gets better. And it's funny, like it felt like forever when I was in it. Like I felt like this is the longest mud season and it's never going to end. But now that we're kind of coming out to the other side of it, I'm like, wow, okay. It actually, you know, we survived it.
Yeah.
We're okay. So, yeah. But it feels really long in the moment.
Smug about how much I don't have any grass on the tracks, which is amazing. You know, I've got less this year than I did last year, and that's because last year the winter wasn't as hard, so it wasn't as muddy and they didn't turn up as much grass, whereas this year they're like completely, they're proper dirt tracks, and that's exactly what I want.
Saves
me a lot of work with a tractor as well.
Exactly. I know last summer because it was raining so much, we had so much grass continually growing. I was rototilling my track like over and over because it kept growing and nothing was killing it. And now I'm like, oh, I don't think anything's growing this year.
Yeah, I know.
So
it's gone.
Yeah, right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being willing to chat with me again. And I have really appreciated all your posts and obviously your book and everything that you do, because it has been so helpful to have all the information. And also just to know that I'm not the only one going through a difficult time with the track. It's really nice to kind of have real life on Facebook instead of just all the best highlights. So thanks for doing that.
Yeah, definitely. I try to be as honest as possible, because at the end of the day, what's the point of making it all look shiny and amazing all the time? And then people will start, say, make a track for theirs and it won't go that way. And then they'll completely give up, which is not what I want for horses. So it's all about helping people and helping horses at the end of the day. So if that means I got to share a few mud pictures and videos, then so be it.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Well, thank you again so much.
Lovely to speak to you again.
Oh yeah, you too. Have a great rest of your day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
I always say that I'm slightly more hoof obsessed than the average person, and chances are, if you're listening to a hoof care podcast, you are too, so we should probably be friends. Feel free to find me on Facebook or email me at thehumblehoof@gmail.com.
You too.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.